This is Internet Marketing.
Hello, Kelvin Newman here. Welcome to another episode of the Internet Marketing Podcast, brought to you by the team behind Brighton SEO. That's the world's largest specialist search marketing event that covers SEO, pay-per-click, web analytics, paid social as well. So in today's episode, what we've got coming up, well, I'm joined by two great guests. We've got Anika Hajata and Kaneta Kelsall, and we're going to be talking about two areas, branding and thought leadership, how the two can work together, and sort of some of the differences and approaches of how you as an organization or as an individual might want to go about, producing some thought leadership content and how that can help you in your branding efforts. Really exciting. And I'm really looking forward to sharing these great insights from two real experts on the subject. So yeah, we've got two really interesting guests joining us today on the podcast. I'm really pleased to welcome two real interesting speakers who we've got coming up at the conference in a few months' time, who I was really excited to get them on the podcast and get their kind of perspective and views and ideas around. I don't know what we're going to title this yet. We'll come up with a title when we finish the show, but kind of around branding, thought leadership, and some of those kind of opportunities that present themselves for organizations that are operating online and how they might want to make use of some of these ideas. And hopefully, yeah, I'm really interested in the topic, and I think it's one that people will take a lot from. So in terms of kind of getting us started, I always like to get our guests to introduce themselves and tell us, the listeners and the viewers, a little bit about how they came to work in the space and some of their areas of interest and areas of expertise. So Kaneta, is it all right to come to you first to get you to do your kind of your version and your little history, as it were?
Yeah, so Kaneta, like Rideta, because sadly no one ever gets my name right. I am the founder and director of School of Social. So I train businesses globally on paid, owned and earned social strategy. And I also work with agencies and brands on their integrated social strategies too. And I started School of Social back in September.
Fantastic. That gives us a really good sense there as well. And I think that kind of, what I think is interesting about your background, and we'll probably tap into this as we have the conversation, is that kind of experience of the paid and the earned and owned as well. So that kind of it tends to be sometimes, I think, that people jump into these silos where they just do paid, just do earned and owned. I think that could be interesting to kind of tap into some of that stuff as well. And Anika as well. And we were kind of having this discussion beforehand where I ended up inadvertently booking two guests who have rhyming names on their side of things. But, could you kind of do your version of how you came to be here today?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, I'm Anika. There's different versions. I'm the SEO director at Seeker Digital. So we're a UK-based SEO agency. And my background in SEO has mainly been in sort of tech SEO and then now gradually moving to sort of the wider areas, being sort of the customer care, account management, and sort of client services lead at Seeker, which means that being sort of in touch with, editorial outreach, digital PR, content in general. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment. I started my career, funnily, as a freelancer. So I had some sort of more, broader marketing experience to start with, and then gradually moved to more sort of SEO as a specialism.
That's interesting. Yeah, I always find, when we're having these conversations and outside of the podcast as well, I always find it fascinating the route that people take to get to their current kind of role, because it can be kind of, going different routes, or it can be something that early identified that then kind of becomes a thread all the way through. Yeah. And it's interesting that kind of broader, then narrow, then broader again, kind of journeys, certainly one that I see quite a bit there as well. So yeah, I just want to start off kind of talking about branding, really, and what's the, a brand's health? Because I know that's kind of a topic, Anika, that's kind of in your sort of area of interest, right? And that's kind of one of the things you're going to be talking about at the future Brighton SEO. I'd love to get a sense of what are some of the things that you look for to see if a brand is in a good place, as it were, and then build from that, if that's right. What are some of the things that are top of your list to be kind of considering for a brand to be in a good place?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess there's obviously different perspectives to brand. And if we're looking at mainly from sort of organic marketing, organic search perspective, there's a few ways to kind of measure whether you're doing well or not. There might be certain elements, some data gathering you can do on your site itself, or you can find very specific sort of measurements sort of more from external sources, whether it could be anything which is maybe most sort of common for people to come up with as a sort of metric. It would be a sort of social media engagement, for example, but it could be anything to do with, you know, how many searches do people tend to search your brand for? What's the sort of search volume for your brand? How do you compare against your competitors? There's this massive buzzword of share of search that has been going on for a while, which is can be very handy. And obviously people tend to do it in their own way potentially. But yeah, effectively understanding, is your brand actually helping your organic marketing, or is it kind of on the sidelines and not really working as hard as it could? So it's very much sort of that interconnection between, you know, different channels and your brand.
Mm. And I suppose that's kind of an interesting area, right? Because obviously like search marketers, and particularly like natural search marketers, are becoming ever more interested in the concept of brand in this loosest possible sense that you could have, because the search engines are becoming better, potentially, or at least in theory, better at kind of understanding the relative qualities of a brand. Does that come with its own sort of sets of challenges, whereby it's like brand as a concept can potentially be owned by quite a few different people in an organization? Is that like a tension that you've seen kind of emerge over that kind of greater interest in brand from a search perspective, whereas in the past it might have been a bit more tactical rather than strategic, right?
Yeah, definitely, because I think a lot of people might struggle to know who's the kind of brand gatekeeper, because like a lot of different teams will have their own goals and they might utilize brand in their own way, but having that kind of integrated strategy, it can be quite challenging, obviously, to build, and also understand where's the truth, like who owns the information, and how can you actually, I guess, validate what is the brand, what's the mission, what are the sort of values. So making that information obviously available, and also making it clear who's the kind of gatekeeper of that information, and making sure that it's used in the right way. So let's say if a PPC team is utilizing some of the brand messaging in their ads, is it connected to how we build our sort of landing pages? Is it connected to how we communicate on social? Is our PR, is that sort of connected to the same messaging? So yeah, it's really important to have that kind of library of content and library of that information. And that's usually kind of the starting point, like building that out and ensuring that it's also up to date as well.
And Kenita, how, because obviously like you're coming from a slightly different perspective, maybe in as much as like from a social first, maybe, I don't know if that's a fair kind of like way of describing it, but social, paid and owned and all that kind of things. How does social fit within that kind of brand ownership stuff? And how have you found that with your clients and projects? And I suppose when training people as well, how does social tend to fit into that mix in terms of like brand responsibility and, you know, guardianship maybe of the brand?
Yeah, brand is all about making people feel something. And social media platforms are the best place to do that, because you can connect and get up close and personal with your target audience group or potential customers. And that could be from building out stories on TikTok, or it could be working with a creator that represents your target groups. But brand, I really stress this, it's all about the feels. And essentially, it's to be culturally relevant to the target groups that you're looking to connect with. And social is the best place for that.
Mm. And then does that come down to an element of storytelling? Because I know that's kind of a concept that, sometimes, you know, it might not be like in an individual like atom of content or social update or whatever, it might be hard to kind of build a story. But is that something you need to be thinking about as a whole in terms of that, Kenita? Is that kind of something that, you know, you think of storytelling and narratives and that? Or is it kind of like actually, it's far more kind of, I don't know, emotional than storytelling maybe?
Yeah, it's what your brand stands for and what you talk about, but also how you show up to. So brands shouldn't just be talking about topics for validation, right? It might seem great to tell a story about International Women's Day for your brand, but if your board is predominantly white middle class men, you'll get called out as well. So it really needs to be not just what you talk about, but it's how you show up when you're telling stories through social media.
So yeah, authenticity, I suppose, then is kind of a part of that, isn't it, right? So it can't just be like done in isolation from the organization, and it should kind of come from them, you know, organically from the business, right? Rather than kind of something you try and enforce on. Is that like a fair way of framing it?
Yeah, it needs to be within the culture of the business to talk about things authentically. I think authenticity is a buzzword in our industry, but it really does mean something. And it also means that your brand might not attract and be relevant to everyone, but who is it that you want to reach, and how do you show up and connect with them on that more meaningful level and tell stories that make sense to them, that they really believe that your brand believes in, and you're not just doing it for likes and comments and validation.
Yeah, I suppose that's it, isn't it? And sometimes it's kind of appreciating who you're not for is, I think, sometimes underappreciated, or what you're not about is kind of sometimes an active choice that I think is easy to forget, right? So it's kind of go, you know, every choice should sort of come with a, well, here's what, you know, you are this, but you're not that. And like, you know, if you're only for good things, but not bad things, it's like, that's not really a strategy, right? It's kind of going, okay, well, here's the route that we're taking. Here's the choices that we're making, and here's what we are about, and here's what we're not about is maybe aspects of that as well. Anna Karen, the kind of like, you know, that it's a big old topic in terms of like the tone of voice stuff and the consistency of a brand voice. Any kind of advice that you've got for people who are like, well, I'm a small organization, or I'm trying to, they perhaps don't have that, you know, like bringing out that organicness that we were talking about there. Any kind of like things to sort of bear in mind when you're kind of starting to develop a brand, or is it kind of like it should just reflect what's already there?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it is obviously difficult. I don't think it's only for small businesses. It can be difficult for sort of larger corporations as well. I guess it all kind of boils down to, it's not just the point of writing your mission statement, because, you know, I mean, obviously it would be great to have that as a business, but I think the main thing really is, what is your purpose? Why are you even here? Why are you doing the business in the first place? So that all should be driving your communication. It should be driving your content marketing. It should be driving everything. Because like Nessa said, if there's not that connection, like, it's really hard for people to kind of rely on you, but also relate to you. So it's almost like making it, you know, when we're talking about brand personality, what is it that you are actually about? Because then it's much easier to, I guess, write the content from your own point of view, as well as sort of bring up those values that are sort of core part of your business.
And so thought leadership is obviously one of the topics we said that we're going to talk about today. And I know it's kind of an area that, like, I think it's quite interesting. Obviously, like things like this podcast, that a degree and extent and that type of approach there as well. Kenita, I'd love to get a sense of, like, yeah, what do you think thought leadership is? What are some of the practical ways an organization might, you know, engage in thought leadership? And yeah, I suppose that kind of, I'm also particularly interested to get your sense of that kind of earned, owned and paid thing, and how that fits in thought leadership as well. So big open-ended question for you there, but hopefully there's some bits to kind of go off there.
Yeah, so thought leadership is really about sharing opinions and educating audiences through that. And good thought leadership, in my opinion, is when you consistently show up around a specific topic. So if I look at individual thought leaders, people I follow who give me meta advertising tips or TikTok tips or LinkedIn content marketing tips, they consistently talk about that. And because they do that, I trust them. So in terms of what good is, it's where you can have an opinion and show up consistently talking about that, whether you are a person or an individual brand.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of framing it as well. And I suppose that obviously has search benefits, right? So it's one of those ones that, yeah, that could help you from an SEO perspective as well. Thought leadership can be, you know, perhaps a way of getting links, perhaps a way of kind of like producing content that's going to answer search queries. Is that something that, you know, is that the way that you'd use thought leadership, Anika, on that side of things?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, it kind of makes your job a little bit easier, but also you get the sort of benefit of, you know, potentially, you know, building your EAT, which is really important now moving forward. And obviously, I guess being a thought leader, it kind of means that you don't need to just cover the basic topics. You can go a bit more deeper into sort of more advanced content. And also, like Nessa said, I guess share opinions that somebody without expertise couldn't necessarily do. So having that both expertise and experience that you can show through your content. And obviously, whether it's, you know, thought leadership in a publication in your industry, or it might be, you know, digital PR and comments on sort of different sort of news publications, or it can be just blogs that you're writing in your own website, which have that added credibility from your expertise, which you can show through the really advanced content.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? Because ultimately, like businesses, even in a B2B context, where, you know, people are buying from people, aren't they, really? It's, you know, at some point or other. And that, you know, it's amazing how that kind of personality has a role in people, you know, might be quite important in terms of who they choose, but certainly it could have a very big role in like their satisfaction in the product or service that they then receive, doesn't it? And yeah, so is that kind of, you know, any tips for, I'll come to Kenita first on this, in terms of for like developing that type of thought leadership approach, if you perhaps don't immediately have like the individual who kind of presents themselves and wants to put themselves forward for that? Because obviously it works really well for organizations where there's an individual or a number of individuals who feel very comfortable putting themselves forward like that. Any advice for where that's perhaps a little bit trickier?
I think if we look at a business, okay, and thought leadership in businesses, it's not always about relying on the stakeholders or the CEOs. It could be about anyone within that business that has an opinion, okay? And it doesn't have to, well, actually, like the loudest person in the room typically usually puts themselves forward for this. But I've worked with businesses where they've struggled to get CEOs to be thought leaders, but actually interns, people who work in HR or people teams put themselves forward. And that's just as important because they are representing the brand. They are part of that culture and can speak on behalf of the brand. If there are businesses that are struggling to get individuals to be part of an employee advocacy program, what I have found that's also worked is incorporating incentive programs to post or position themselves as thought leaders. Because it does typically come down to nerves, or people say, I don't have anything to talk about. I'm not an expert in anything. And actually, if you provide the training or give them the tools that actually their opinion matters, it's really empowering for that individual. And I'd say that is the best place to start, is identifying who wants to potentially be put forward for a role like this within a business.
And I suppose it's also then about creating a culture where that type of thing is encouraged, and that I suppose could become quite self-reinforcing, right? And I've certainly seen that in organizations where you get, like, if there's a culture of a couple of people in an organization being like public in the, yeah, in their promotion of, you know, thought leadership, it often kind of makes it for, like, yeah, whether that's directly incentivized or indirectly incentivized, it certainly feels like it's interesting how you get companies that emerge like that, right? Where it's like just in their DNA, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's really important to give individuals at businesses creative freedom. Yes, there'll be do's and don'ts if you're representing a company. There's certain things that you shouldn't talk about. But ultimately, it's a human who has opinions within the team they are working within or the industry they're working in. We shouldn't like prevent them from speaking out about that. So I think that's really important, ensuring individuals have creative freedom to share their thoughts, feelings, and opinions.
Fantastic. So yeah, I think that's given some really interesting areas to explore. And I think it is a really interesting topic, and hopefully kind of motivated either people who are, yeah, like haven't really experimented too much with kind of that thought leadership and to maybe try and do it a bit more, or just kind of re-encourage people. Because I think that tends to be more my experience, where it's like often people will have started things but not necessarily fully committed. And I think sometimes that's often the challenge, isn't it? It's the kind of the consistency of keeping with things that's like makes a big difference. So one thing I always like to ask our guests, because I know they're kind of really knowledgeable people and have like their resources and their inspiration and their place that they turn to for good ideas or things to think about, I always like to ask them in terms of, well, is a particular resource that you maybe recommend to our audience to kind of go and check out? And I'm going to come to Annika first to ask you, what any particular like things you'd recommend people go and check out, like a resource, a book, a report, a newsletter, anything like that that immediately jumps to mind that people might like to go and check out?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so much, but I would recommend one book, which is quite fun to read and quite interesting. It's called How to Build a Story Brand. I don't know if many people have read it already, but it's by Donald Miller. And I used it for sort of some of my sort of talk resources for Brighton SEO anyway. So it's, I think, quite an interesting way to frame the sort of storytelling, whether with your website or your general marketing content as well, and kind of placing the user as the hero. Because like, it's quite often we do sort of write a lot about our brand, but in the end, does anybody actually care? Like, if I don't know what I'm going to get from you, I don't really need to read all this content that is sort of that kind of mission nonsense, or, you know, business writing, which almost looks like it's a checkbox exercise. So yeah, I found that quite an interesting way to actually write content. And whether it's, you know, writing for your website, especially your homepage, like that's usually the first sort of storefront that people access your brand with. But yeah, everything from sort of social media and PR as well. So yeah, I would recommend that.
Sounds like a good resource. Yeah, and I'll say, like, our topic in its own right, you know, like that, writing the homepage, I think like that's one that, like, yeah, definitely could be a really interesting thing to discuss in its own right. And now kind of, oh, I wish we started talking about that at the beginning, because I think that could be a really interesting one as well. Kanita, kind of how any bits that you recommend people go out and check out, or resources, or places you'd point people towards?
Yeah, I actually go to brands' websites, so maybe more corporate brands like the Deloitte's of this world, because they are running so many fantastic reports that you just don't know about, and they have the resource to interview quite a substantial group of people. So agencies and corporate brands would be my go-to for the more lengthy insight around like thought leadership, building a personal brand, corporate branding, tone of voice, or even specific audience related information. So yeah, I'd say business websites and agencies reports. Yeah.
I think that's it, isn't it? It's like so much of this great content's produced that actually, like, it's, yeah, like sometimes it's about finding it, and like making use of that can be hugely impactful as well. And in terms of kind of people keeping in touch with you, or keeping, you know, like aware of what you're up to, is there kind of, you know, I normally would say, what's your social network people follow on? But that's not always the right way of doing it. It might be your website. But what's the best place of, when you're doing your pointing bit to the link there, what would that link be saying, or that kind of thing? I'll go to you first, Kanita, if that's right, yeah.
Yeah, for me, in terms of like where to follow me or to keep up with the thought leadership that I share, that would be on my LinkedIn. And I talk predominantly about social media, quite general, but paid, owned, and earned, and also share my experiences with clients that I'm working with. So follow me on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. And Annika, for you.
Yeah, very similar. LinkedIn mainly. I mean, I'm also on Twitter, post maybe 3 times a year, so I definitely recommend LinkedIn. That's usually where I'm kind of spending more time.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone through a journey on LinkedIn where obviously I've been there for a long, long period of time. And yeah, certainly my kind of interactions with it have really shifted over the last 6 to 9 months. And I think for a lot of people, that's always been where they're at. But like personally, I've kind of gone, I'm part of that. Like, yeah, Twitter now just for me is about football. And like all like professional stuff sort of left there, and it does seem to have really gone to LinkedIn, which is kind of a fascinating change. But well, thanks so much to both our guests for joining us today. Thanks to our listeners and viewers for, you know, coming along the journey with us. I hope you've taken a lot away from that. Yeah, as always, we will have dropped those links that we've been discussing and general kind of like reference points into the show notes. So if you're on YouTube, it'll be down in that bit below, or if you're on your kind of podcast platform, it will be in the various places that that's there as well. Yeah, doing all the pointing. I feel like I should be doing a like and subscribe as well. I've not quite got to that point yet of my podcasting and YouTube career, as it were. But yeah, thanks everyone for joining us today. We'll be back again next week with an episode as well. Please do keep in touch if you've got any questions or follow-ups as well. And I definitely recommend following both of our guests today because they do share some really interesting stuff and I'm big fans of their work. And yeah, so thanks everyone and see you very soon. Thanks so much for joining us for today's episode of the Internet Marketing Podcast, produced by the team behind Brighton SEO, the world's largest specialist digital marketing conference covering SEO, PPC, paid social, web analytics and content marketing. If you want to find out more about us and the show, you can check out the website, internetmarketingpodcast.org. And if you've not already subscribed to the show, you should hit that subscribe button. And can I ask a favour, if you are subscribed and you're enjoying the show, can you leave us a review wherever you're watching or listening to the show? And if you want to get in touch, become a guest on the show, or just generally feedback about what we're doing, you can always email me. That's kelvin@brightonseo.com. So kelvin@brightonseo.com. Or of course, you can contact me on social media. So at LinkedIn or Twitter, my usernames are Kelvin Newman. See you soon.